All right, we'd like to play for you today, He Hideth My Soul. If you want to follow along in your hymn book, it's on page 141. But a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me.
Use some more people right now. You had four.
Well, Sharon had two. I had two. Brandy had three. Trevor had two. Kenna had two. Sarah had two.
Three. So, yeah, some of them are doing three. That you only have two hands. That does make it a little complicated from time to time. But anyhow, they practice on Wednesday evenings, and if you would like to be part of that, you see, Mrs. Sprecher, we enjoyed that this evening. And I think they say, or this morning, you have to be able to count to four.
Actually, six.
Six? Oh, I'm sorry, we just upped the ante. You got to be able to count to six. Okay. Huh? Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 138. The book of Psalms, chapter 138. And I'm going to read the entire psalm, and my focus of attention will become more direct when we get down to verses 7 and 8. And from verse number 8, the title of our message, and then we'll look at various other texts as well. Psalms 138, beginning at verse number 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Title of the message today comes from verse number 8, the first part. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Here in Psalms chapter number 138, we have a psalm of praise. And David spends a great deal of the first half of this chapter just sounding forth praises for the Lord. I will praise thee with my whole heart. I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. David, in the first part, the first six verses primarily of this little psalm, spends that portion in praising the Lord. And then when we come to verses 7 and 8, he begins to express his complete confidence. Notice he says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. It's not that the psalmist says, when I walk in the times of trouble, I sure hope there's somebody there to help me. No, David says in this text, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. But in the latter part of this, and getting more focused, he said, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. It is not the Lord might, or the Lord could, or I hope. David is very confident in this text. The Lord will perfect. And most importantly, I think of all, the confidence is not, I have faith enough to believe, or not, I have grace enough to hope, or I love enough, or I'm determined enough, or I'm strong enough, or I'm skilled enough that I might be perfected. But the confidence that is expressed in verse number 8 of Psalm 138 is in the Lord. And the word Lord here, by being the form in which it is capitalized, we know he's speaking of Jehovah God. I am confident because Jehovah, the Lord, will perfect that which concerneth me. A great expression of confidence in the Lord. Confident the Lord will do what he started out to do. Found a quotation, I think, that expresses it in a wonderful fashion. And that quotation goes this way. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. You know, as I thought about that, for me personally, it was in 1957. That's a long time ago. In 1957, the Lord began a work in my heart, a work of love and mercy and grace. It began in 1957, and that work continues to this day. Now you might say, man, preacher, that's a long time. You don't understand. He had a lot to do. He had a lot to accomplish. And guess what? He's not finished yet. He's continuing. Because the scripture says here in this text, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. And the word perfect here is simply complete, accomplish, finish, fulfill. The Lord will complete that which concerns me. I want to take this text as a springboard and look at some other passages today. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we come to a passage that is familiar to every one of us. It is a passage that we frequently turn to. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we quote often, we refer to it many times, but many times we do not go the step further and look at verse number 10. In verse number 8 it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And you notice the first part of that verse. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're His workmanship. And of course, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, specifically and particularly speak about salvation. If you know Christ as your Savior, if you were born again, there came that day when you recognized your need of a Savior, you recognized your guilt of sin, and you went by faith, repenting to the Lord, and you were saved by grace through faith. It was the workmanship of God that accomplished that. But in this text, it indicates to us that that was just the beginning. It wasn't the end. It was the beginning. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto something else, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He is the one that hath made us. We are His creation. We are His workmanship. When we received Christ, we became a child of God. We became a Christian. We became a saint. We're part of that redeemed group. We're blessed and beloved of the Father, but He created us with a distinct purpose in mind. He didn't create us just that He might set us on a shelf as some kind of a trophy that He could look at and examine, but He created us with purpose. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 5, it says, "Now He that hath wrought us for the self-same thing is God." Now that "for the self-same thing" specifies He created us, He wrought us. He saved us for a specific, specified purpose. I'm turning to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. And these verses are also one of those favorite verses that is often quoted in part. Verse 28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." And here's the kicker part. "To them who were called according to His purpose." We're called of God with a purpose. Verse number 29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." God's purpose in saving me is that I might be conformed to the image of His Son. He has begun. He has saved me. I'm His workmanship. He didn't just save me just because of one day He said, "I think I'm going down there and save somebody." It wasn't on a whim. It wasn't on just some fancy. God had a specific purpose, and He never forgets His purpose. He never reneges on His purpose. It says in the book of Psalm 138, verse number 8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." He will accomplish the purpose that He had in my heart and my life when He saved me. I'm His workmanship. I'm created in Christ Jesus unto specified purpose. And as we read the Word of God, in accordance to our text in Psalm 138 and other places, "He that hath begun a work in us will accomplish it." I'm looking in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, and verse number 6 of the book of Philippians 1. "Being confident," Paul says, "of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." In 1 Peter chapter 5, there's a similar verse. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Jesus Christ," or by Christ Jesus, "after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." The Bible indicates that God, the God, who saved us, who began a work in our life by mercy and grace, will, through His strength, accomplish that purpose in our lives. You know, sometimes we get all lathered up about something and we start off and we begin a project and we don't complete it. I remember as a young boy in the first home that I remember living in with my parents in Sears Falls, Maryland, just two doors down. What would be two doors down, or three doors down, was where my buddy lived. And two doors down was a foundation that had been in the ground there for years that was never completed. Somebody started out with great plans. They were going to build a house, and they had dug a foundation. They had raised the block walls. They had the footers there, the block walls. They had the mantles over top the doorways, and it was all divided up in the basement. And then, I don't know what happened. Maybe they ran out of money. Maybe somebody died and they weren't then willing to complete it. Maybe they lost interest or it became too hard. I don't know. But for years, it had been there vacant, abandoned, and we as young boys, we found it an ideal place to play. I mean, we could get our sticks and rocks and we could throw it up against different parts of that foundation, and every once in a while we'd knock one of the bricks loose, or not the blocks loose, and it'd come cascading down. And I can't explain it to you what makes that such a great thing to a junior age boy, but it was great as we played down there in that place. But somebody began and they didn't finish. Brother Don's sitting back there. How many years ago did you begin your barn, Brother Don?
We won't go there.
We won't go there. But it's almost a year ago now he got sidetracked. He said, I think I'll marry me a wife. And so now what does he say? I got to fix this house up. And so he's working on the house. Now he'll get back to it in the spring, I'm sure. Brother Don's like some of us. He's got more projects up here than Carter has liver pills. And some of them he'll get accomplished. But, just by our own human frailties, we don't always get everything accomplished we set out to accomplish. But guess what the Bible says? He that hath begun a good work in me will perform it unto the end. He will perfect, complete that which concerneth me. And David expressed that with great confidence in the Word of God. He will do for me what I can't do for myself. He will perfect. God, if you know Him as Savior, He is at work in your heart and in your life right now, seeking to complete the work that God has for you. And the fact of the matter is, He will do for me sometimes what I choose not to do for myself. And sometimes God has to do that in the form of trials and afflictions, and sometimes chastenings. I can't remember. I was thinking about it today. I wish I could remember the poetry. I had to memorize it at one time in my speech classes, but it was a poem that dealt with the hound of heaven. And it dealt with the fact of the, speaking of God as the hound of heaven, sometimes He will continue on the trail and He'll continue on the track for me, trying to make of me what maybe I'm not ready to be made of. You know, I might be that backslidden Christian. Recognize as a backslidden Christian, you can run and you can, but you can't hide from God. He'll continue that work that He began in your life. You'll say sometimes, well, why did that happen to me? Maybe God's trying to get your attention. Maybe He wants you to be brought back to the place where your heart is tender and He can accomplish more of what it is He wants in your life. You may, as a Christian, think, well, I had a chance and the Lord was working with me, but I blew it and He doesn't care anymore. What did David say? The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He doesn't get sidetracked. He doesn't lose interest. He doesn't run out of money. But He still continues to work in my life that I might become that which He wants me to be. He'll not renege on His promises. He will perform that which He promised under the great day of Christ. And, you know, the thing that I see about this in Psalm 138, David had this confidence. It was not a misplaced confidence. It was a well-placed confidence. And the confidence that he had was placed in verse number 8 of Psalm 138 after he said, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." Here's what he placed that confidence on. "Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thy hands." Recognize today the confidence that God will continue working our lives. And he won't give up on us. And he won't lose interest in us. And he won't back out, and he won't renege, is based upon the enduring mercy of our Lord and Savior. God is so merciful, and his mercy endures forever. Anybody that tries to serve the Lord and is conscientious in that attempt to serve the Lord will often, at the end of that day of service, we'll think, "Boy, I blew it today. I surely could have done better today." But recognize when we, as we used to say as kids, when we flub the dub, the Lord does not say, "Okay, sorry rascal, I'm out of here." But what does he do? The Lord, who began a good work, will perform it unto that day. He continues to work. He works with patience. He works with his righteousness and his mercy. And sometimes his mercy and his righteousness might mean that he has to take you to the spiritual woodshed so that your heart is ready to be molded and made by the Lord. And so as I look at this, I take courage. The Lord is not finished with me yet. He's continuing his work. My mama used to have on her refrigerator in the kitchen all kinds of those, little plastic magnetic things on there. And at times it'd get pretty full. Some of them were just absolutely humorous. Mama had one that had this big fluffy sheep on there, and it said on hers, "Use not fat, use just fluffy." And she liked that. On another one, it said, "The only reason why I have a kitchen is because it came with the house." Mama wasn't really all that intent on cooking. But then she had another one that's kind of spiritual. It says, "Be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet." I appreciate your patience. Some of you have been patient with me now for 14 years. And I don't get to patting yourself on the back so much, because God has been patient with me since 1957. And he's not finished with me yet. He's still doing work. Sometimes I feel like it's one step forward and two steps backwards. But is he giving up? Is he quitting? Is he going to renege on the promise? No. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Won't you surrender your heart and let his will prevail, and let him complete his work in you? You may be sitting at a place in your Christian life where you're discouraged and think, "Not much good to God." Take heart. God's not finished with you yet. If you'll let him have that work, he'll perform it until the end. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you for the promise that you will perfect that which concerneth me. And Lord, we're here today. And maybe there are those that, Lord, have basically given up and said, you know, I can't do much. Can't do much of anything. Lord, if we'll just yield and surrender, you'll continue that work in our heart. If there's one here that doesn't know the Savior, may they come to Jesus today. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.